This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Christian's Agenda.
Well, with 24-hour news and cable television and the ongoing assault over the internet, if you're an observer of things that we see, we recognize that everybody's got an agenda. All kinds of special interest groups have got their special agenda, and we're bombarded by that agenda day after day. But my message this morning is that there is a Christian agenda, and I want to share that with you this morning. First of all, what's the definition of an agenda? It's the purpose, it's the program, it's the mission, it's the things to be done. You don't usually go into a well-oiled meeting without an agenda. This is what we're going to do first, and this is how we're going to end it up. There is an agenda spelling out what it is that we're trying to accomplish. Everybody and every institution in our country and around the world, they have an agenda. And by definition, for example, the politician's agenda, just strictly speaking, is to represent their electorate and uphold the Constitution, okay, by definition. By definition, a business is in business to make a profit. If they don't make a profit, they won't be in business very long. Schools have an agenda to educate. You may know that the phrase liberal arts, the liberal arts meant to liberate someone from ignorance. There was an agenda. Hollywood has an agenda, supposed to be to entertain. The news media has an agenda. It's supposed to be to inform. Oftentimes, these people and institutions have a hidden agenda. That's what we're seeing. Often that hidden agenda follows their worldview. By way of example, a politician's hidden agenda is to do or say whatever it takes to get reelected so they can continue to hold power and sway over other people. Hollywood's agenda, by definition, is to influence and to shape public opinion, traditions, values, and worldview. World Magazine on April 14th highlighted the actors and filmmakers, husband and wife, Kevin and Sam Sorbo. They are very rare in Hollywood. They are a Christian couple. They're conservative evangelical Christians in an industry that swings wide to the left. Kevin once starred as Hercules. You may remember that. I don't. He says Hollywood has an agenda. Let's face it. They put out so many violent movies full of sex, violence, and hate. Why can't we have more feel-good, good message movies? Amen. Making good God-centered, Christ-centered films has become their agenda. That's what they're up to these days. The Bible-believing Christian's agenda, and therefore the church's agenda, was laid out 2,000 years ago. The Christian agenda, it's not a hidden agenda. We have nothing to hide. What we believe, what we stand for, why we exist, and what our purpose is as individual believers and the church together is not hidden. People should know what it is because we should know what it is. What we stand for and why we exist. It's not a hidden agenda. It's not a private agenda. It's God's agenda. Jesus said this in Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Implication, there are lost people and they need saving. And Jesus came to save the lost. John 3:17. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Paul writes in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've never pulled any punches on that. God's never rewritten in his book that we're good. He said our goodness is like filthy rags. All of us have sinned. Romans 6:23 gave the antidote. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a way out. There's hope. There is a gnawing sense of hopelessness in our country today. And as I share five of the components of the Christian agenda, let me tell you first, number one, the gospel of Jesus Christ is an agenda of hope. Hope. What is hope? Sometimes we think, well, I hope so. It's like a gamble. It's like taking a risk. But this word hope means to trust, to desire with expectation, to expect with confidence. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, that if I were to say good night here, I'd say good morning up there. Amen. I don't doubt it. I don't question it. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. I have that hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. There is an annoying sense of hopelessness prevailing in our country. The believer's agenda is a forward-looking agenda. We're not looking back over our shoulders. We're looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ stands in the clouds and sounds the bugle, sounds the trumpet, and all of us will be caught up to be with him in the air. I'm looking forward to that day. I believe that day is going to come. I have no doubt about it. I don't know when it's going to come, but I don't care about that part. For 60 years, Americans have been bombarded by the destructive elements of an increasingly secular culture, marching to the drumbeat of an evolutionary philosophy. It's a philosophy not confined to science. Believing we are slowly changing, evolving, speaks to our traditions, politics, values, relationships, our worldview. It's a philosophy that starts with the premise that there is no God. That's how it begins. You don't have a God, there's no such thing as absolute truth. There's no purpose or meaning in life. There's no right or wrong. There's no afterlife. What's the result of that kind of thinking? Emptiness. To think that this is it, and while you're here, there is no purpose to this. There is no meaning to this. There is no value in life. This is what our university students are being taught every single year, every single day of the school year. There's a sense on the part of the millennial generation that we live with that life has no meaning. There's nothing to look forward to. And when life has no meaning, and life has no purpose, and we have no destiny, the only way we can understand what's going on in their heads and in their hearts is that they have a sense of hopelessness. Now, how do you live out a sense of hopelessness? How do you live without hope? But the gospel message is that there is hope through Christ for ruined humanity, hope for pardon, hope for peace with God, hope for a life of glory in eternity. It's not the end of joy that makes a sad life. It's the end of hope. Where people don't believe there's something beyond today, something beyond tomorrow, something beyond the grave. And what our educators are basically telling our university and high school students is, there is nothing. Well, if there's nothing and life is nothing, then life is not sacred. There's nothing sacred about life in the womb. There's nothing sacred about relationships. There is no such thing as an important institution called marriage. We have no guidelines. We have no guardrails. Is it any wonder that there are so many young people committing suicide? Is there any wonder there's so much violence? People turning to drugs, and our state and city governments legalizing marijuana. And what's that going to do to that generation of kids? As Christians, it's our agenda to help others to look to Christ as the source of hope. Number two, sharing the gospel is the primary agenda of each and every Christian. Our agenda is not about ornate buildings. I mean, if it was about ornate buildings, this place would be empty. This is a simple building. This is the meeting place. You are the church. When we get that thing messed up in our head and we say, I'm going to church, there's a big difference between saying I'm going to church and me saying I am the church. I'm part of the church. We don't need ornate buildings. We need changed lives. The gospel is not about rituals or traditions. It's not about organized religion. It's about people and their free choice to receive or reject the Jesus of the Bible, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and that choice determines a person's eternal destiny. As such, number three, Your personal agenda and mine is to tell others about Jesus Christ. This is not an option. This is not something you can choose from column A or column B and decide whether or not you will do it. Jesus says this in Acts 1:8, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." There's nothing misleading about that statement. Our primary purpose in life, you have a reason for life. You have a purpose in life. And the primary purpose in your life is to share Jesus. When Jesus was about to leave, he gave his disciples that commission. Well, this commission applies to you, and you can personalize it. When he told them to go into Jerusalem, your Jerusalem is your home and your family. The light that shines brightest is the one that shines closest to home. What are people seeing in us? Your home and your family is your Jerusalem. Your Judea, your friends, your neighbors, and your co-workers. Do your co-workers know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower of Christ? They're watching you every single day if they do. And they're seeing how you handle the tides of life. When the tide goes out and when the tide comes in, they're watching your reaction to it all. They're listening to your conversation. They're learning what it means to be a Christian by you. You're either the best Christian they know because you're the only Christian they know, maybe. You're Samaria, the man on the street, the person in your community who's a stranger, the people you've never met before. Somebody shared a testimony with us about meeting a person they'd never met before and exchanged to them the love of Jesus Christ by caring for that person and helping that person find housing. What a beautiful story Gene and I were privileged to hear. The Christian makes himself known and helps a person and then shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why are you such a nice person? Why are you doing such kind things? Why are you being so nice to me? Answer: I serve Christ. It's his love that's coming out of my heart for you. It's his compassion that leads the way. It's his conviction in my heart through the Holy Spirit to love you and care for you and watch over you and encourage you. Your earth is wherever God lets your feet step. You've been commissioned. Like it says on the back doors, you're now entering the mission field. Wherever you go, your mission is to tell. To tell. And as they used to say on Mission Impossible, your mission should you choose to accept it. Will you choose to accept it? Are you prepared to ask someone, if you were to die tonight, where would you be after you're dead? I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, as I said earlier, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that, and you are too. Number four. Christian's agenda is to welcome all Bible-believing Christians into the community of faith. The church, again, it's not a building, it's the people. The church is not a place where you go or a thing you do, it's who you are. And 1 Corinthians 12:27 puts it this way: now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. In 2018, Americans are becoming increasingly self-absorbed, isolated, and materialistic. All about me. Well, what else have they got to live for? What are they living for? No purpose in life, no meaning to life. It's all about taking care of yourself, putting yourself number one. Where are they getting that from? Well, there was a book written not too long ago by a lady named Jean Twenge, and the book was Generation Me. She polled 147,000 teens and discovered that their schools promote the following ideas: believe in yourself, don't be concerned about what others think. Self-importance is more important than accomplishment. These ideas of self-sufficiency fall far short of the kind of human relationships God has called us to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 informs and reminds us that we are the body of faith, interdependent. We don't live by ourselves or to ourselves. There are consequences to how we live to the people who are around us. The people who are sitting in this pew next to you, in one way or another, are affected by how you're living. The people in your home, obviously, the people with whom you work, the people you associate with are and can be affected by how you live out your life and what your reputation, read testimony, is like. You have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility in my living to live in such a way that Jesus Christ gets the glory, that Jesus Christ is lifted up. The Bible says that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In other words, your testimony that you are a follower of Jesus Christ speaks volumes. And people are seeing that long before they ever hear that you are following Jesus. The quality of our life involves the people around us. Ours is a life of service, a life of caring, a life of forgiveness, a life of love for one another. Sense of community where Christ is lifted up again will draw people to him. Number five, it's the agenda of Christians to be a godly influence in our home, in our community, and in our country. Reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Let's stand as we read together. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Throughout human history, salt, you may be seated. Salt has been used to serve two functions. It adds flavor to what it comes in contact with, and it preserves what it touches. That's you, and that's me in this culture. Are we salt, and are we making an impact on the lives of the people around us? The Bible tells us that Jesus says you and I have to bring something to the table. We have to be a flavoring in the discourse of the day. Anger out there, bitterness out there, mean-spiritedness out there. When you come onto the scene, you're an agent of calm, an agent of peace, an agent of Christ. You can lower the temperature of bad situations. Are we peacemakers? When the culture becomes so stuff-oriented, materialistic, we must speak and live in such a way that we can demonstrate man shall not live by bread alone. When the culture becomes obsessed with violence, murder, and mayhem, we must speak and live in such a way that we can demonstrate it's a blessing to be a peacemaker. Nothing to be ashamed of. When the culture divides people between winners and losers, rich and poor, black and white, we must speak and live in such a way to demonstrate that in Christ there is unity forged out of diversity that will lead to love one for another. And when the culture promotes the idea that there are no rules, that it's all good, we must speak and live in such a way that we demonstrate God wrote a book, and that book, and in that book, there are guidelines and guardrails to our behavior. Jesus asked, which is the greatest commandment? And he answered it this way in Matthew 22, 37. And it speaks to the heart of the Christian agenda. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Jesus Christ, the center of your life, to see, sit on the throne of your heart. Is he number one in your life? Does he have you all consumed? Is he the one you speak to each and every day? When it says pray without ceasing, do we talk to him through the day? Is he forgotten when we walk out this door this morning? Is it forgotten that God gave us a book? Do we ever open it in the course of a day? This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What's the most loving thing we can do for another human being? Not give them a great education, not give them a new home, not buy them a car. The greatest thing we can do for any other human being is to introduce them to Jesus Christ. That's what you've been called to do. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody, but I can tell people about Jesus. I can share what he's done in my life. I can tell them what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And I can live it in such a way that they'll see that testimony, that I lift up Jesus Christ. Verse 40 says, "And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." As Christians, we are not seeking a political solution to the world's problems. The Christian agenda is a spiritual agenda. Reaching out to those within our sphere of influence with love and compassion in Jesus' name. This is the serving gospel and the saving gospel. It's a gospel of show and tell. That was always the easiest way to learn when we went to school. You bring something in, they see it, and then you tell about it. Well, you bring something in every room you step in and everywhere you go. You bring you into that situation. And when you enter that situation, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ, of his truth, of his love, of his presence, and of his gospel message. Go and tell. Go and show. If ever people needed to see and hear genuine Christian faith, it's now. It's today. Again, they're hopeless. They have no meaning in their life. There's no value to this life. They're drifting. They're out there without a rudder. They're out on the seas of life, aimlessly drifting from shore to shore, trying this and trying that and hoping for this and hoping for that and winding up with absolutely nothing. And the day is going to come when they're going to have to take their last breath. And because we haven't been doing what is our personal and Christian agenda to tell them, they may be dying without Christ. And I got news for you, and it's nothing new, and it's not hidden, that if people die without Christ as their Savior, they're going to hell. They don't have to. Christ promised his word, when demonstrated in life and articulated with truth and love, would not return void. Christ is the hope of the world, so it's up to you to be bold. It's up to you to be loving. And it's up to you, when called, to be a lighthouse to the people in your sphere of influence. I can't challenge you. I can't scream it. I can't get so dynamic that I raise my hand and throw my notes all over the place. But in my heart, I beg. Quietly, I beg for each and every one of us when we leave this place to have a heart of compassion for those who don't know Christ as Savior. I beg you, do the most loving thing you can do. Tell them about Christ. Show them about Christ. Let them know we serve a risen Savior. Let them know that Jesus is the light of the world and the hope of the world. He's their hope, their light. Let's pray. Father, would you lay someone, just saying the world doesn't do much, but could you put somebody in our mind and in our heart and in our path this week? Lord, it's up to you to give the agenda. It's up to you to provide the opening. But it's up to us to step through the door. And so this week, Lord, A, give us a name. Give us a picture of someone who we know, we also know does not know Christ. Give us that person. Lay him or her as a burden on our heart. Don't let us find any comfort as long as that name is emblazoned upon our foreheads. Keep us awake with that name and that face. And Father, when the time comes, when you open up the door, help us to be faithful to walk through the door, name the name of Jesus, and share the truth of his great love. He loved us so much that he died upon the cross for us. All we can do in return is to show and tell. Let that be our agenda, Lord. Nothing more and nothing less. In Jesus' name, amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.